Good evening. It's such a privilege to be here and to share what I believe God has laid on my heart. And it's been an emotional week, but what a special time it is for me to be sharing what has grabbed my heart for must be 4 years now. And that is about trusting God in good times and in bad times. And when is it most important? Is it not in the bad times? Is it not when it's going really, really bad? And one of the truest things that Jesus ever said, I think, is that in this life, you will have many trials and tribulation. You will have many problems. Is there anybody in this room that cannot relate to that? Please. Either you're all a bunch of introverts, that's going to mess up my talk tonight, but or you have some experience where you really knew that the place you're at is far beyond your own capability. You actually need a miracle. You need something out of yourself and out of the power of your friends who may love you and care for you and want to help, but you know there is only one person that can truly get you out of this place. Friends, I've been there many times in my 50 years. Many times. And that is the one thing that has changed my life forever, every single time. And that is deciding who to trust. So the real question is, who do we trust? Do we trust ourselves or our partners, our friends? Who do you trust? I trust tonight that as we sang the song, and this is really how I feel tonight, I stand here empty-handed, but alive in God's hands. Because whatever I say tonight could be the best speech ever, but if God doesn't touch your heart, it will mean absolutely nothing. It would be another motivational talk. You walk out of here and you're not changed. And from my best testimonies that I've ever heard or given, it is God's ability to empower you, to catapult you to levels that you truly never imagined. And this is what tonight's talk is going to be about. I'm trusting God for a powerful weekend. I'm trusting God to leave me unchanged, take me out into the working place and the business place and make a difference and be a difference for God. That is what I'm trusting, because I've been a work in progress for so many years, and I do realize it's not over, but that's my expectation in my heart. So I trust that God will bless this message and that He will open your hearts so that the truth, His truth, will be cemented in your heart and leave you changed and catapulted to another level. Is there anything you trust God for your life at the moment? Is it a child getting through matric? Is it a bond payment? Is it a business? Is it your marriage? Is it, we can highlight hundreds of things that you can trust God for. The question is, what are you trusting God for tonight? And that is the main message. There's only one thing that changes everything, and that is, who do you trust? Who you trust in your personal life? Who do you trust in your business life, with your family? And how do we trust God? I think that we all fall short in truly understanding what it means to trust God fully. And hopefully today's word, tonight's word, will mean something for all of us. Friends, in the business world, there's one book that changed the way I think today about my business, my relationships, and about God. And that book's name is The Speed of Trust. Stephen Covey's son, the business guru Stephen Curry, Covey, who most of us will know, wrote The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, became world famous in the world of business, and it is a book that's even referred to this day. His son wrote a book called The Speed of Trust, and I want to read a passage from that book. He stated that trust impacts us 24/7, 365 days a year. It undergirds and affects the quality of every relationship, every communication, every work project, every business venture, every effort in which we are engaged. It changes the quality of every present moment and alters the trajectory and outcome of every future moment of our lives, both personally and professionally, and I want to add, in God's story. Colleagues, how important is trust in your personal relationships? Is it on a scale from 1 to 10? 1 meaning insignificant and 10 meaning absolutely vital. It is at the core of our relationships, in our marriage, with our kids, in business, and how important is it for us as believers to fully trust God? On a scale from 1 to 10, I'm going to assume yours is, like mine, 10 out of 10, to the power of infinity. So, colleagues, I'm going to...
I'm your colleague. I'm your colleague.
Friends. Friends. Ricky, would you mind putting up that one slide? Colleagues, when you... Just checking. Thanks for that, Rory. It was a real icebreaker. This picture changed every book. There's a moment when you've got the aha. And this picture truly made it for me in business. It states that the higher your level of trust between people in business, the quicker things happen and the cost is lower. Think about it. Think about your best relationships. How many of you are in business? It's quite a few. Now, for those who are working for salaries, guess what? You're also in business because you're working for someone and you are selling something. So that's business. Think about the person you trust the most and think about the person you trust the least. Where do things happen? Where's fruit? Where's life? Where's profit? Because the lower the levels of trust, the longer things take, and because it takes longer, it costs more. So how simple is that? This is really, I love the standard grade stuff. You give me a picture, and you give me 3 simple things to remember, then I'm waxed. I hope it does some for you as well. We've got some professors in our congregation. It's not going to work for them. But this works for me. Now, colleague. Friends. Warren Buffett is the 3rd richest man in the world when they last counted. He's been the richest for many, many years. World famous investor. Now, he made a little deal with Walmart. That's the Pick and Pay of the USA, but just times a billion times bigger market cap. One meeting that took 2 hours, and 29 days later, the deal was done. $23 billion. McLane Distribution was one of the companies of Walmart, and that was its market cap. Now think about this for a moment. 1 hour, one meeting, 2 hours, 29 days later, paid. Thank you very much. Buffett wrote to his shareholders and he said, "We did no due diligence. We knew if Walmart says it would be so, it would be, and it was." Colleagues, what is the basis for that transaction? It's only trust. What is the basis of the speed of that transaction? It is only trust. Now, friends, if we in business are trustworthy and we trust other people, imagine what a difference that can make in every business around South Africa if we truly understand the meaning of trust. The speed of trust is the one thing that changes everything. Thank you, Ricky. Friends, Ken Blanchard, who's a guru in business, he wrote, "The ability to build trust is the defining competency for the leaders in the 21st century." The 100 greatest sales tips of all time, one of the business books states, all things being equal, people like to do business with people they like, trust, and admire. So how important is trust in our day-to-day lives? Friends, one of the most important lessons I've had to learn is there's a difference between essentials, good-to-haves, and nice-to-haves. We should not be bogged down with nice-to-haves. We simply don't have the time. We have to focus on the essentials of life. And I trust that God has laid this message for us to start understanding so that we can use it and so that God can just catapult our lives to another level. So I'll only be focusing on six things tonight. And these are the essentials. When I read The Speed of Trust, I was so consumed with the power of understanding what trust is about. I must have read 12 to 13 books on trust alone. And these are the six elements that I took a hold of. I'm going to explain to you in very simple terms. I've got a business partner. We met up 6 years ago, and I'll tell you the story of why this business partnership is working. Firstly, he's a highly competent man. So when you go to a dentist or a doctor, would you go to a fool? That's like a standard grade question. Obviously not. We would go to a competent person. If you go to a financial advisor or investment advisor, would you go to a competent person, yes or no? It's a no-brainer. And therefore, because my partner is competent, highly competent, I trust him. That's the first element. Secondly, when he communicates, I call this the five C's of trust. When he communicates, he doesn't talk down to me. He speaks to me. He listens to me. And he speaks to me with humility. Colleagues, friends, Romans, countrymen, sisters.
And Rory.
We should seriously reconsider how we speak to one another in the business world. I've listened to too many people talking down to me, and that's a barrier. You can be as competent as you like, but if you treat me with disrespect, I think with you it may be the same. Be highly competent. If you want to be trustworthy, you need to be competent. Secondly, when God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. That's what I like about my partner. He speaks to me as if I'm his equal. Sometimes I'm not. But he doesn't speak down to me. Thirdly, there's a connection. There needs to be a connection. John Maxwell wrote a book. And he states, the title of the book is, "Many Communicate, Few Connect." Friends, when we speak to people and there's a connection, our connection is our mutual faith. That is a connection. The first thing that you will pick up if you speak to a financial advisor or a doctor is whether he's in this discussion for his own interest or yours, or he cares about you. Caring. There's a statement, this old cliche of people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. That, friends, is where people connect. Is that where there's a caring for one another. And that is what I find in my partner. That is why I trust him. He's competent. He speaks with humility. And there's a connection. And thirdly, you can be all those things, but if you don't have character, character is simple, difficult to model. Simple. Leviticus tells us, don't lie. It's simple. Just don't lie. We should do what we need to do. That's it. Our yes must be yes, don't lie. How simple is that? Two words. Yet all of us, well, maybe not 3CI, have lied at some point. So let's stop lying. You want to be trustworthy, you want to be successful in the business world, be competent, communicate well, connect with people, and be a person of character, never lie. And be a man and woman of integrity. Those are the 4 C's. You can be all those things, but if you're not consistent in that behavior, you've lost it. You can be the best surgeon 1 year with new technology. If you don't keep up and you are consistent in your competence, you've lost it. If you one day speak with humility and the other day with emotion, there's no consistency. People lose their faith in when dealing with you. If there's no connection, if it only is about business, it's not about the bigger things, we've lost it. And if we lie, and if we are not people of integrity in our business, our yes is our yes, etc., then we lose it. There must be consistent application of these 4 elements. The 5 C's of trust: competence, communication, connection, character, consistency. The S, you'll see I've emailed Rory the presentation. I guess it would be over the weekend. The presentation will be uploaded onto the 3CI website, the call, I guess. And you'll see the 5 C's of trust adds a little S at the end, and it means self-interest. Philippians talks about acting in the interest of others, not ourselves. Now, if you think about it, if a person is competent in all these 5 C's, but he's only doing that for his own benefit, how does that impact the trust levels? So therefore, the 5 C's is ending with acting in the interest of others. Those are simple principles in business. Now, how does this bring us to God? I'm going to ask you to select and just take 10 seconds with each one and select and rate the person that you think is the most competent person on this planet Earth or that you've ever read about. Einstein comes to mind. But then one of our elders in our church, I'm not going to mention names, says that he was one of his better students. Einstein was one of his better students. But you select whoever you think is the most competent person. Einstein, who else? Edison, maybe Bill Gates, maybe Warren Buffett. Who's the most competent person you know? And put a rating out of 10 next to that person. I believe no person is perfect, and the best I will give is 9 out of 10. That's it. That's about it. So select that person. Then you go to communication. Who is the best communicator that you know? And put a rating out of 10. Go to connection. Who's the best person that connects with people that you know? Give that person a rating. And so you go on and select 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 maybe, and then you add that up. And the person that's got the highest rating. The interesting thing is, you will probably not find one single person that meets all those elements of trust equally. You would love to select, maybe, and it's hypothetical now, maybe, Piet Lindeke is the most competent person in this. Oh, sorry, I mentioned the elder's name, sorry. He's the most, but Rory is a better communicator in certain aspects, so you might have to juggle it a little bit. Okay, it's hypothetical, Oaks. You've got to work with me here. Now, this is why God says, and it's leading into trusting God. Now that we know how trust works in business, let's see if we understand that side. How can we look at God and ask ourselves, why does Psalm 118 verse 8 and Isaiah 2:22 and many other scriptures tell us, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? So here we are on earth. We've got this very important business and we need trust. Can any business survive without trust? Yes or no? It is impossible. I will not do business with anyone I don't trust. Here we've got all these 9 out of 10s and we've got all these ratings, the best people we know, and we do business. There are people that trust us and we trust people. Now we know how it works. Yet the Bible says, do not trust man. Take your refuge and trust God. And I'd like to highlight why that is. So let's take competence for example. And if you want to compare, isn't it interesting, we sometimes trust people more than we trust God. We go to people first to solve a problem before we consult God. Isn't it amazing how that happens? Yet the Bible says we should trust God. Now on those 5 C's of trust, let us go through a comparison. Now, the most competent person you've selected, Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, somehow that just pales in comparison to the mighty work of God. In fact, the oak that you've just put on a pedestal, 10 out of 10 Einstein, God made him. So 9 out of 10 for Einstein, 10 to the power of infinity, God. 1 down, 5 to go. But if you're not convinced yet, listen to this. Isaiah 48, 12 to 13. I am he. I am the first and I am the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth and my right hand spread out the heavens. 1 billion galaxies, hello. And when I summons them, they stand up. Created everything, and this is one I love from Isaiah 51. It says, for I am the Lord your God who churns up the sea so that the waves roar. Friends, I've had the privilege of doing a marlin fishing contest. One of the worst I've ever had. Because you travel 40 miles into the sea, and when there's only your boat, your fishing boat, and only just tons and millions of tons of water, and that waves, there are 2-3 meter waves in the deep sea, I was reminded of this. I am he who churns up the sea so that the waves roar. What a mighty God we serve. So you want to bring competence to the party. Your best advisor, your best doctor, your best everything. We all pale in comparison to the mighty God. So how's that for competence? Let's go to communication. Friends, I'm just blown away by how people can look at Nelson Mandela by himself. This is a publication of what someone said. If you turn the page, you'll see dates, what he said, how that was recorded, etc. We believe this book. But Jesus, who walks this earth, he walked it 2,000 years ago. And with all the history written up here, somehow, we as people find this harder to believe than this. So how does that work? So when it gets to communication, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Friends, how many of us can say something with that authority? So how does that, your best communicator, the founder of everything, gave us the word? Friends, how many people's lives have been changed by this word? How many people's lives have been changed by the best communicator you know? This has changed billions of people, their lives. Whereas the best communicator ever pales in comparison again. Two down, four to go. This word, and for those who are going through testing times, this is your word. Because if you believe His word, if you believe it, He says, I will never forsake you. What a powerful word. The Creator of the universe is telling you in Hebrews 13 verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The question is, do you believe God's word? Do you trust Him, the Creator of the universe, who churns up the sea that the waves roar, who actually uses the earth as His footstool, and we are but grasshoppers? Do we trust Him enough to change our lives? Because that's what He said. And if he said it, perhaps we should believe it more. Let's go to God's connection, one of the most powerful verses ever. And I felt it tangible when I went out in the garden 12 years ago. I went out in the garden. I was busy losing my first house. The second house happened 6 years later. But when I was busy losing my first house, no income, no work, battling, I went out into the garden and I fell on my knees. My wife and kids were in the house sleeping. And I just fell on my knees and I wept before the Lord. And I cried out to Him and I said, Lord, just don't. Your word said that You will not break me. I plead with You not to break me and to restore me here. And as I walked into the house, I went to the Bible, and as I went to the last place that I've marked, you all have these markers, and as I turned the page after weeping for 20 minutes outside and pleading with God, as I opened my Bible, my eyes fell on Psalm 116 in Afrikaans. Ek het die Here lief want Hy hoor my smeekgebede. I love God because He hears my cry. Now, here's the thing. What are the odds that if you're down on your knees, humbling yourself before the mighty God, and you plead with Him, He gives you that word? What are the chances? Friends, that is why James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. But there is a proviso. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, when you will call upon me, for whoever draws near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Therefore, it's okay to draw near to God, but we must have an expected heart that the Creator of the universe loves us and He will meet us there. Friends, every time I've humbled myself on my knees and cried out to God, knowing that He's got a plan for me, He has met me there. Somehow, He does not meet us standing with arrogance. He meets us down on our knees in humility. That's where He will meet you. If you are trusting God for something, go there. Don't stand here in arrogance. Last but not least, from Jeremiah, then you will call upon me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. That is a promise. All we need to do is to believe Him and trust Him for that. God's character. Friends, this is the most touching touching message. When Rory preaches on the Father heart of God, I can just sit and listen. And I've taken some of those scriptures, and I want to explain one or two things to you from my own life. The first is, when I was 25 years old, I was, before I met my wife, which is important, I was in a relationship with a lady, and she fell pregnant, and yes, I was the father. That was a very humbling experience for any 25-year-old who had no plans to marry, and he was in a busy time of his life, going places. God pulled me to a halt. And then, after working through that, I realized that this situation goes far beyond my own capability, my capacity to resolve it. I had no money. I had a mediocre job. I couldn't even sustain myself, never mind somebody else. So where do you go from there? 25 years ago, I went on my knees and I asked the creator of the universe, like the prodigal son, that was my testimony. I went to God and I said, God, and I wept before God and I said, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against the mother of my child-to-be. And I was on my knees and I wept, and God met me there. And 25 years later, at my 50th, I could bring honor to Dean's mother. She was with us, sitting in the front row. And that is how God blesses humility. God says in Jeremiah, I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. That is what I experienced when I was on my knees and I asked, I begged God to please forgive me and give me a future. And has He given me a wonderful future? Without that, and on my knees, I would not have been here tonight, for sure. What a wonderful God we serve. Then in Isaiah 30, verse 18, yet the Lord, and this is how I experience God, every time I go out, down on my knees and plead for His help, I'm trusting God for three big things right now. And every time I humble myself and I beg God to reveal Himself and to make something happen, because I need a miracle. Isaiah 30 verse 18 is of huge encouragement to me. It says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you His compassion. It's like a grandfather to me, sitting in the living room, and one of his grandchildren comes from outside, runs into the house, trips over the door, and falls flat on his face. And this grandfather longs to be gracious and calm this young child and just comfort him. He rises from that chair and He picks us up where we have fell. And here's the promise. Isaiah 61:8. The Lord is faithful. Friends, how many, if you don't mind, how many of you have experienced that in your life? I'm there. For any non-believer, any person who hasn't experienced it, the majority of people in this room have just showed you that the Lord is faithful. And if that's the only thing I can declare tonight here, is I've experienced a God who is truly faithful. What about God's consistency? Very simple. Isaiah 51:6. My salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. How's that for consistency? And another verse, Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. Every day, yesterday, today, tomorrow, the same. What about God's self-interest? And I'm moving to a close. We all know that God created us and everything on the planet and everything in the galaxies for His honor and glory. Yet, that God gave His only Son. That boy, I don't think I'll give him away for you, to be honest. If any parent is sitting here, you've got a boy that you truly love, and he brings great joy to you. How to give up that boy for anybody else? Yet, the Creator of the universe, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Me should not perish. That is the God we serve. So if we talk about acting in other people's interest, what a gracious God we serve. So, Ricky, can I ask you to put up that second slide, please? So if we just have to say again, what is it that you are trusting God for? Those three big things I'm trusting God for. Who are we going to trust? Are we going to gossip with our friends and seek manly or earthly solutions? Or can we truly tonight start a process over this weekend in trusting the God of the universe? Jesus tells us, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in Me. Friends, I'm closing with this following story and then a prayer for you. Is in Mark, there was a father with a son with an unclean spirit. And the spirit was throwing his son into the water, into the fire, and he was just creating havoc. And then Jesus said, what is the problem? Because the disciples could not heal this boy. And they told him, this oak is vicious. And Jesus turned to the Father, and He said, all things are possible if you believe. And the Father said, I believe, but yet help me in my unbelief. Now friends, I truly believe because this is where I am. And so I believe that's where some of you may be as well. We know we must trust God. We know that we do. But yet there's a part of us that is still in unbelief. And I can so relate to this dad that wants his boy to be healed. And he says, I believe, Jesus. I believe, but help me in my unbelief. And this is my prayer for us at the conference this weekend, is that God will come and do a mighty work in our lives where we can believe and take the faith that we have and go on our knees and beg God to please help us in that area where we still don't trust Him. If we look at that formula that was put up there, is there any question in your mind? Ricky, please put that picture up again. Is there any question in your mind that God deserves our trust more and more and more every day? We cannot trust ourselves. I don't trust myself. We need to look at the right-hand side and say, in every critical area in trust, God, You reign. You're the God of the universe and You're the God of my heart. And this is the prayer that I would like to pray over us. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him, so that You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.